الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala says, fas'alu, ask. And at the end of the ayat, Allah says, in kuntum la ta'alamun, if you don't know. If you don't know, you are going to ask. So what is it? Who will you ask? The person who knows. But Allah ta'ala did not say, fas'alu ahl al-ilmi, ask the people of knowledge, those who know. Allah ta'ala said, fas'alu أهل الذكر, ask the people who are in the dhikr. And ulama have explained from this ayat, you have to ask the ulama. But yeah, why Allah said فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, those ulama who are in the dhikr of Allah, those ulama who have got contact with Allah Ta'ala. We will find that there are ulama who know the kitabs, the masail thoroughly. And it'll give you a masail, also your rulings, your questions, your fatwas you ask, istifta. They will give it according to that. But that alim who knows Allah Ta'ala by dhikr, ar-Rahman, fas'alu, ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. Then ask the people who know Rahman. So these people who are in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, they will give you the correct answer. Like for example, you are walking on the road and you come to crossroads. Now you don't know your destination. Must I go straight front, or must I turn right, or must I turn left? You don't know. But on the corner there you see one person is sleeping and one person is awake. So who are you going to ask the directions? The one who is awake or the one who is sleeping? Who will you ask? The one who is awake, he also doesn't know. He is waiting for the one who is sleeping. When he wakes up, then I'll ask him. So we don't know who to ask also. So that is also one great deficiency. And the sad part is, still we think that I know a lot. But we don't know. We don't even know who to ask. Eh? And this was actually one priest who was debating with a alim, and he asked him the same question. Allah put it in the alim's heart, I know why he's asking. That Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is awake, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away. He's asleep. So you have to ask your direction now to Isa alayhi salam. So he said, no, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also will come and follow the Shariat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will also follow that Shariat. So we have to know who we have to ask also. So yeah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, ask those ulama. So for ulama, after having becoming alims and acquiring all the knowledge, as our great, great ulama, the very great ulama, they said all to the junior alims, that spend your time with somebody in a khanqa and make the dhikr of Allah and gain the ma'rifat and the love of Allah Ta'ala. When you have got that, then see the difference in everything of yours. Your bayan will be different. Your fatwa you give will be different. Your advice you will give will be different. Everything will be different completely. Just like that person who had killed 99 people and he asked an alim. But that alim was not ahle dhikr. He did not know, he had not the connection of Allah. He knew the masalas, he knew the law books. So according to that, he told him, 99 people you killed, one person you killed is Jahannam for you, Quran Sharif says, and in all the scriptures. So there is no chance for you. So he killed him also. And 100 he completed. And then he asked an alim who had the dhikr of Allah, ma'rifat of Allah, connection with Allah. So he told him, he knew the law also, but he knew Allah also. And Allah is above everything. So he told him, you just make tawbah. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not only forgave him, But immediately he passed away and he went to Jannah. So to know Allah Ta'ala, that is very important. So that is very necessary for an alim also. That our knowledge also must be 100% correct, and then know Allah Ta'ala. Become Ahl-e Nisbat. Become an Allah Wala alim. And then see the difference. Also for an alim it is very necessary that he explains to people such a way that they have full conviction on Allah Ta'ala. Today people, generally, unfortunately, as one great alim said, the English, the British came to India, Pakistan. They robbed us of our iman. They robbed us of our Islam. They robbed us of our sharam, haya, shame, bashfulness. They robbed us of all our virtues and good qualities. And what they left us with? To object on Islam. Mm. That we have got doubts in Islam and we have got objections on Islam now. This is what they left us with. So it is necessary for an alim to speak to people and take away those doubts. One, two such examples by which we understand that we got no brains, not even bird brains. They had no sawdust also not left in our brain. And we must just submit wholly to Allah Ta'ala. That we have to realize. Today we think, we can think and our thinking is above the commands of Allah. We want to judge Allah Ta'ala. And we want to judge the Quran Sharif and the Deen also. So it is very necessary that we ask the people who know. So with regard to this, one important thing, one particular thing, and from that we will understand many other things in our lives also. We will be able to apply the same principle and the same rule, and in many things we can understand. One time we were with our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahumullah, in Darul Uloom Zakaria. Hazrat's program was there. And in that program, or maybe some other time, Hazrat had explained that to recite like Surah Ayatul Kursi, etc., some wazifas, after the Farz Namaz which comes. That we should read it after the Sunnat-e Muakkada, after those namazes, after which there is Sunnat-e Muakkada. Like for example, Zuhr, Maghrib, and Isha. So you should read it after that. So on the way back, and Allah gave me topic, that is how I was reading after Farz Namaz. So I asked Hazrat that in the hadith it comes that Ba'd al-Farida, after Farz Namaz you must read. Ba'd al-Maktuba, after the Farz you must read it. And Hazrat is saying that we must read it after the Sunnat-e-Muakkada. So based on Hazrat's answer, which is such an apt and beautiful answer, and a little bit more explanation, hopefully we will be able to understand many things. So Hazrat said that you have got in front of you one or two hadith, which you have seen. And the ulama, the fuqaha, they have got all the hadith on that subject. So you are making your judgment on that one, two hadith which you have got. And your ruling you are doing on that. And the fuqaha, the great ulama, rasikhin, those ulama who have drunk deep into the ocean of knowledge, they have got all the other hadith. And in view of all that, they give you the ruling. So on that, an example came to my mind, if it can help us. Like for example, there is a court case carrying on for perhaps 6 weeks, perhaps 6 months, perhaps 6 years also. And we go for one sitting of that court case. And we hear the evidence which is laid, the cross-examination that is being done. And after sitting there for 1 hour or 1 day, we make a judgment that the person will definitely is guilty or that he is not guilty. And compared to the judge, the magistrate, who is sitting and presiding over that matter for 6 years, for 6 weeks, whatever it is, in front of him is not only all the evidence and the cross-examination, and it's all recorded, and he makes his own notes also. But besides that, the law is also in front of him. And he has studied so much law that he became a lawyer. And after that, serving so long, then he was made a judge after he they felt that he is the person and he's fit to become a judge. So all that is behind him. And with all this, and then when the case ends, he doesn't normally, he doesn't make a judgment immediately. He reserves judgment. And then he goes back and he thinks about the whole thing. He will apply himself properly in every aspect. And after that, he makes a judgment. Now, a person who heard 1 hour or 1 day the case, so we got that little bit knowledge compared to the jurist of Islam. And then again, yeah, the judge, magistrate, maybe a non-Muslim also, maybe an atheist also. But the jurist of Islam, the taqwa they have got. And then the marifat of Allah they have got, all our great jurists. And then the love of Allah, the concern of deen, all that what they have got, where can we ever compare anywhere near them? We can't come at all. So if we have got our brains at least empty, then we will just accept wholeheartedly what they say. And so that is very, very important in all our matters. What happens today commonly, many times today with the internet available to everyone, kitabs which are available to everyone, people study Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and when they ask a question also, they say there is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith in Muslim Sharif. And with regard to hadith, there are three important things, like Bukhari Sharif, for example. One is the sanad, the chain of narrators. They have been so scrutinized, and we take just any hadith, and we got no idea which category that hadith falls in. And these people who have that thorough knowledge, that which hadith, they see that also. And then like Bukhari Sharif, particularly what is called the Tarjamatul Bab, where Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, his great faqahat, his great jurisprudence is all filled in there. Where he says this is on Kitab al-Salah, for example, or anything about namaz. Then he puts his view across and he explains things. So to understand that, to understand Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, for example, on a light-hearted way, our Ustad Maulana Anzar Shah Sahab Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, was a great, the son of a great illustrious scholar, Alim, Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh. On a light-hearted way, he should say, till today only my father and I have understood Imam Bukhari. To understand Imam Bukhari, after teaching Bukhari Sharif for 50 years, to understand Imam Bukhari, all the other things are further. That is the thing of what brains Allah had given Imam Bukhari. And then the hadith, which is the actual hadith and which is the main thing, which we should not forget. Many times also, a person gets so much involved in commenting on the narrators of the hadith. Or in, for example, what that subject is about. And he forgets the hadith itself. That is the main thing. The hadith itself is the main thing. So this only we can get when we stay in the company of the ulama. Otherwise on our own, na kitabo se, na waazo se, nazar se paida. Deen hota hai buzurgo ki nazar se paida. Not from kitabs, not from lectures, not from by force or anything, or not by any bribes or anything, money temptation, etc. Only way deen comes in a person is in the company of those who have got deen in their lives. Then only does a person get deen in his life. Otherwise, just reading kitabs, etc., listening to bayans, etc., deen doesn't come. And the mizaj, the temperament of deen, one is to stand a law, which is even in this dunya's law. The law is written there, but to understand the, what do you call that? The, okay. No. In the context and the reason why this law was made, why it was made, what is the object of this law? Otherwise, it's a big game where things go to constitutional court, where according to the words you try and take out all different things. And this goes to such an extent, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali explained to us once, in India there was a court case, and in India, Hazrat Mufti Sahib explained, Hindus, Their law of inheritance is that the eldest son gets everything. That is their law of inheritance. So one person, the youngest son, went to court. And he brought a case against his elder brother that I'm the eldest son. He's the youngest son. The elder brother is 50 years. He's 40 years. But he says, I'm the elder. And he presented his proof also. He says, when my brother was born, then the sperm which came out of my father and that went into my mother and he was born. That went, and after 10 years, I was the sperm at the back. So I came after 10 years, so I'm 10 years older than him. He proved his point like that. And the judge, it made sense to him. And he gave a verdict in his favor. That yes, you are the eldest son. That you were reserved 10 years there. So your elder brother is younger than you. So this is, and funny in the UK, what, when it comes to these matters, what they pass. So to play around with all that, but to understand, and yeah, again, this all is done for material and for nafsaniyat, for your own personal gain. But to understand what was the mansha of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that, ulama agreed, nobody understood it as Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. That he understood the real, what was the mansha, the purpose of Imam Abu Hanif, of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the real purpose of deen. So to understand this, we have to, we must accept what our fuqah has given. One alim explained also in a beautiful way, and he takes a little bit of explanation to understand. He said, we should follow sunnah, not hadith. What does he mean by that? The sunnah, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like for example, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, everyone knows that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he drank water, he should sit and drink. But you find a case in the hadith, where he stood and drank. That was for some reason. We all know the sunnah, the whole world, Salafis and all know, that it is sunnah that a person sits and urinates. But you'll find a hadith for some reason on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had to stand and urinate. Now you follow that hadith, you look in the hadith, and you bypass the whole life, all the sunnah, established sunnah, and you take out that one hadith, which shows that you are not sincere also. Otherwise, you'll see the whole. The same thing in the lives of the buzurgs, that we know what they stand for, what their mission is. But once in their life, for some reason, like for example, one great buzurg, there was a lady that they had a goat, very poor people. So some visitors came, and then the husband wanted to slaughter the goat, and the wife said that this goat, that is our only living, by which we get our milk, etc. We're living on it, our children, don't slaughter it. Some other time, another occasion came, and this time it warranted for the goat to be slaughtered. So she said, slaughter the goat. The husband went behind the wall, because the children, they also will be saddened, that and they love that goat also, and they're seeing all the milk coming and the food, now it's going to be slaughtered. So he slaughtered, and after that, she saw the goat standing on top of the wall. So she thought perhaps it escaped from the husband, went out of his hand. Therefore it's standing on top. She went around to look, she saw it was slaughtered, they're busy cleaning. Allah put in place another goat immediately. And this goat again, it gave milk, not only milk, but milk with honey in it. Honeyed milk. So this buzurg heard of this, he said, such a karamat, I must also go and witness, and I must also taste of it. So he came and he took permission to speak to the lady. Now if we don't see all that he took permission and that he spoke to a lady, now some people say that buzurg also speaks to women. So they don't see also his whole life, what parda he maintains. But some occasion comes when you have to perhaps speak also. And they just take out that one, like that from the hadith, they take out one thing. So that is the wrong approach. We should see the whole of deen. What is sunnah? What are the lives of the buzurgs? For some reason, sometimes they did something, it appears, which is contrary to what they stand for. There is a reason for that. So we should try and understand that. And even if it is, don't follow that one rare occasion. Follow the what they stand for in their whole life. This is very important. If we understand this, we will be able to follow deen correctly, very easily. And we won't be taken away by all the other distractions. And we'll get the proper understanding of deen. So Allah Ta'ala has made deen very easy. And all this can come, all this, is, you won't find it in a kitab. When we stay with the ulama and with Buzurgani deen, as we had learned, we asked our Shaykh, Alhamdulillah, and not only this, how many other things, how Hazrat used to explain and make it so easy, and then a person gets his correct direction in life. Otherwise, a person, he gets easily misled, and he goes in other directions. Also, very, very important, we should understand that, like for example, when on one occasion there was this Urus, which the Bidati people have, celebration of some occasion of some big Buzurg or somebody. The Buzurg in most cases was a real, genuine, great Buzurg. And this also, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, that when any of our pious people, ulama, great Buzurgs pass away, today what normally Hazrat says has become a fashion, that we just have a jalsa with regard to him, and we speak all that this, he was like this, and he was like that. Or on his grave, there is the tombstone that in which some couplets are written how great he was. Or we write some books about him. His Sawani Hayat, how he lived. In fact, Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Rahmatullah Ali wrote about Hazrat Shaykh in his lifetime. Waliye Kamil. And all these type of things praise us. So Hazrat said, Ye Bekar hai. This is a waste of time. And then Hazrat wrote his own life, Aabiti. And he wrote it, his own life story. And all those things by which people can take lessons. And people can mold their lives, etc. So that is the object, that we make our lives like them. Not just that we praise them and big, they were so great and they were so good and this and that. No. That we ourselves, and we try to bring other people also on there. That is what is the objective. Hazrat, with real pain in his heart, he's explaining this to big ulama. That's not enough, it's not necessary also. Also very important to understand, Allah give us this ikhlas to understand. This is how shaitan plays with a person. And many people also say that what legacy are you going to leave behind? What will people talk about you? So we are more worried of what the people will say. And what people will think about us. But more we have to worry about our qabr, about the day of Qiyamah. Yeah, the people, always, there will be some people who will talk very good about you. And many other people will talk bad about you. And those who talk good about you, they're not going to talk all the time also. Occasionally, at the beginning perhaps a few days, but then it wears away. Perhaps then after a year, some occasion comes, they will get, the children get together, talk about our father, about our mother, how pious she was, how good she was. Then they also, eventually it's forgotten. But your mamla, your matter is all the time with you. Every split second in your qabr, your matter is with you. Every split second on the day of Qiyamah. Forever your matter. So you must be worried of your matter and your akhirat matter. Not worried that what the people will talk about me or what the people are saying now. Even now, there are many people who are praising you and there are enough people who are criticizing you. There are many people who love you and there are enough people who hate you also. So you're going to, one worry, Allah. Is Allah happy? That I must be worried about. If Allah is happy, one sahabi advised Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when it comes to the matters of deen, don't worry about the people. You worry about Allah. Allah must be happy. People will always, there will be some who criticize and some who praise. That carries on. And your matter, that we must worry about our akhirat. Don't worry what people are going to say about us or what they are saying now about us. We must worry about our matter with Allah, our qabr, our our akhirat. So that is what we have to worry about. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us this proper understanding of our deen, which is a very, very essential thing. So anyway, this urat that was taking place in Gangoh, where Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi used to be. So his murid, Hazrat Maulana Mahmood Hassan Saab, Shaykhul Hind, is also called Shaykhul Hind Rahmat, great, the Ustad of Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani, the Ustad of Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, great ulama, high students. But he was the murid of Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi. So he went and visited his Shaykh, and it was the occasion of this urus that was carrying on. So when he came, Hazrat asked him to return back immediately. And then he said, but Hazrat, I've come to see you. He says, at this time when this urus is taking place, you are one person. And how many thousands of people must be coming for that urus? But you are increasing their number. Even this one he did not tolerate. That it looks like you are also part of those people. People are coming in bus loads, in truck loads, and lot of people come and for all that urat, you are increasing their number. And man kastara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum, aw kama qal alayhi salatu wasalam, who increases the numbers of a people, he will be counted with those people. So Hazrat said, and then he returned, and see what a staunch murid he was. When he was returning and he walked from Deoband, those days it wasn't by bus or anything, that came afterwards also. Walking he came and he started returning, walking again. He must be tired, he must be hungry also, but he returned immediately. One person, a friend of his also, one of the associates, his peer bhai, he told him that come have at least some water, some tea, eat something. He said, no, Hazrat said, I must return immediately. I won't have a drop of water, forget a sip of water. I will return now immediately. So that is also one great lesson that we learn. So we should be very careful where we go. For example, there are many occasions which take place in the family, functions, etc. And are we increasing the numbers of the wrong that is happening? The people who are doing wrong, who are involved in wrong things, we just say, I don't take part in those things. And I hate it, and I just keep my eyes down. But we are increasing the numbers. So that also we must be very, very careful about. Also, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. People who imitate any people, they are counted amongst those people. So who are we imitating also in all our things we must think? Our dressing, our lifestyle, education, our education, the education of our children. Who are we imitating? And who are we being similar to? We will be raised with those people. And also with this, that we have to see and be very careful these days also, that who do we associate and relate with? If we are associating with, for example, Shias, and though we know we are not, but we're sitting on the same table or at the same function, we are counted amongst them. Though we are not amongst them, but we will be counted amongst. So we have to be very, very careful where with who we associate on any, for example, whichever platform or whichever place where all the wrong people are. And we also go, where there are, for example, some drug addicts, and we not doing drugs or anything, but we go and mix with them, and now when a proposal comes, we propose for a girl, and people ask us reference, they say, we don't know, but we see him with the drug addicts. You're not a drug addict at all, you're not an alcoholic at all, but you mix with such people, so everyone gets the impression you're also part of them. So we have to stay away. And more than being a drug addict or alcoholic, Allah save us, our aqidah. If we associate with the people who have got the wrong aqidah and the wrong beliefs. For example, a person, he doesn't go in jamaat, but he sits with the jamaat people. Sometimes he sits for the ta'aleem, he sits for the bayan. Somebody asks reference, they say, we see him sitting with the jamaat people. So you get there, he's all right, he's a jamaat brother, he's with the jamaat. So who we associate with, he associates with the ulama. And we say we don't know much about him, but I see him, he always is with the ulama, mixing with the ulama. So who we mix with, we will be counted amongst those people. So the people who are on the wrong, to associate and we be counted amongst them, that we associate with them. And people say, and automatically it comes, but we got a doubt about this person. We don't know. I can't tell you because I see even mix with that people, even mix with this people. So I don't know where he stands, which side is he. So we have to be very careful, and judgment is going to be made according to that. When our mort also will come. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that when a person's mort will come, then who we should be associating with in our life, Allah will bring such people in front of us. Other people won't be able to see, but such a gathering is made at that time. If we are with the sports people all the time, and Allah save us at the time of mort, all these people, and with regard to the sports people also, these people who are today, they promoting all this LGBTQ, etc., the rainbow colors, and people call their sports, who they really, they, one person even wrote that the players, we come to love them. And they are in kufr, they are atheists, and they are promoting all this evil. And to the extent that it comes on the tongues of the people, he's my idol. See? And it isn't just the word then. It is really that you idolize that person. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salih Sahib, Damat Barakatum of Isipingo Beach, he says that there were two youngsters who used to come to his majlis regularly. After some time, one was not coming. So he asked the other one, where's your friend? He used to come, he's not coming. So he says he came home from work one day and he said, I'm not well. Family said, what's wrong with you, married person, young person? Nothing wrong with you. He said, no, I'm not well at all. So call the paramedics, take me to hospital. They say, nothing wrong with you, you are normal. But he insisted. They called the paramedics, they treated him, took him to hospital. Then he went into a coma. After being in a coma for quite a while, in his coma he lifted his hand and took some soccer player's name and he said, that's my idol and I believe in him. And he passed away in that condition. So Allah protect us all. So who we associate with all this, whether it is just on the phone we are watching. One friend of us wrote that all the soccer games, you have the English Premier League. Then there is a, which we didn't know about also, Fantasy Premier League. And this fantasy, the word tells you it's a fantasy. It's a lie. It's not reality. And in that everyone picks his own team from different clubs. And then you don't follow only one club, which is also so terrible. Haram also, and so much more dangerous than haram also. And not only that, but you're following the players who you have picked in all. So your whole time. And he explains that people at work, at home, this they are talking about all the time. And in fact, whoever opposes it, they cut off from them. Instead of joining with the people who teach you right, they cut off from those people. And they join with these people. And that becomes our life. Our morning, night, our eating, our sleeping, orna, bichona, this becomes then our life. And we're just following in that way. So it's very important to see who we associate with. And sohbat-e athar, whoever you keep company with, that effect will definitely fall on you. Which example is given very nicely. If you keep the company of a person who sells itar, perfume. Even if he doesn't give you perfume, but you're keeping his company, the smell you will get. And if you keep the company of a blacksmith who is working with his fire, the smoke there, fire, and his iron, and his hammer, and his knocking, and shaping the things, etc. And you keep his company, if the fire doesn't, a spark doesn't come on you, but the smoke will definitely come on you. So who we keep friends with is very important, whatever. And if we have to, our work, etc., with non-Muslims, or we take a flight anywhere, or we go to the supermarket, we must make sure that we make Tawbah Istighfar, cleanse our heart. Because there, without us knowing, that effect definitely has fallen on us. We're driving on the road, and we are seeing billboards. And we are seeing people on the road. All that is having an effect on us. Whether we understand it or not, we accept it or not, but it's having an effect. A person must make tawbah istighfar. People who understood it, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali in those days, or perhaps 150 years ago, should go to Mewat for deens work, pure deens, and their ikhlas, what can we understand even what their ikhlas was. But when he used to there, and there was of course no question of Kentucky and all this franchise and all these businesses there. He should just do his work, but he could feel by mixing with those people that the effect on his heart. And he should go then to the khankas of Raipur, Gangoh, Saharanpur, and cleanse his heart again. So when we mix with those people, great advice is given. For example, we are in Jamaat and we go for khususi gasht, and we usually will go and meet people who are far from deen also. Many times we can meet wealthy people, prominent people of the town. In fact, when the Jamaat comes, meet with all those people also. But read Ya Mughni, so that the effect of their worldly life doesn't fall on us. Otherwise, we get affected with that. And it has an effect on us. So we have to be very careful in all these matters. Allah guide us to righteousness. Let us understand our deen. We say we are not Salafis. And Salafis, who are Salafis in practice? Who take from Hadith and not from the Imams. And if we also want to prove everything from the Hadith and not from the Imams, then in practice we are no different from the Salafis. Just like we are opposed to communism and socialism. That way of life is not Islamic way of life at all. But we're living like that. Like in our homes, it's ours. And according to Islam, there is nothing ours. Everything must be, the ownership must be defined. To who does this belong to who? We are not living in a socialist condition in our home that it belongs to us. No, it belongs to the father, mother, this brother, that sister, everyone thinks must be defined. So that also Allah may give us tawfiq to correct, inshallah. Allah guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma.